Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, May 16th, 2013. Tonight's guest is an award-winning novelist who specializes in the romance mystery genre. Her latest novel, published by Revell Books, will be on store shelves in June and features a heroine who puts her own life in peril by refusing to believe a mentor's death was anything but a murder. Deadly Devotion is Sandra Orchard's first installment of the Port Astor Secret series, and Sandra's on the phone with us from her home in Dunnville to talk about her mysteriously romantic career. But before we talk to Sandra, let's listen to Be Still from the Love Was Here first CD by BC's Carolyn Ahrens.
Words fail, but I just keep talking, I derail, but there's just no stopping. Train of my thoughts, it goes faster and faster. This juggernaut is my natural disaster. My what ifs collide with my wherefores and whys, till the only way that I'll survive is if I will be still and know that you are God. Up in smoke, I fan the flames and I stand here and choke, till I remember if I want to breathe, then the only remedy is if I will.
And now to our interview with Sandra Orchard. Good evening, Sandra. Now, it's been about a year since we've talked, so maybe we should give our listeners a little bit of a refresher of who you are and why you do what you do. When did you get started writing?
I started writing fiction, my first novel, around the fall of 2004.
Mm-hmm. Now, had you been sort of involved in writing prior to that?
When my kids were little, I'd taken some writing correspondence courses, nonfiction type things, had never entertained writing fiction before that.
So what sort of prompted you to start writing?
Well, I'd always wanted to write, and when around that time, I was reading a lot because I had blown a disc in my back. And so the books were piling up, and my husband suggested I write my own, and it's been playing in the back of my mind, and so that was the impetus to start writing it.
So did you start writing in the romance genre, or did you sort of just try fiction? What sort of took you on the route that you've ended up on?
I started writing romances because that's what I was reading a lot of at the time. I like the happily ever after, and I discovered romances or Christian romances after my mom died, and I found that a lot of the types of things they were going through inspired me, and I really enjoyed that. But then I discovered romantic suspense, and I loved that extra twist and mystery and the faster pace of the story. So although my first book started out being a romance, after that I quickly switched into a romantic suspense and romantic mysteries.
Well, for people who don't know and aren't romance readers, it's no longer just the typical boy meets girl, boy and girl finally fall in love type of thing. It's all over the map. You've got romantic suspense, mystery, historical novels. It's quite a broad variety of romance that's out there.
Yes, and even this series is very different than the other books I've been writing for love-inspired suspense, because the romance itself, in fact, they don't categorize it as a romance. They categorize it as a mystery, because the happily ever after doesn't happen in book one. The romance is going to arc over the series of books.
Right. Well, looking at that, I mean, you started off with one romance publisher, and they have, you know, the very strict guidelines about what can and can't be included. As you say, you've got to have the happily ever after at the end of the novel. What was it like working within those kind of parameters?
Well, once I understood the parameters, because at first you're kind of shooting in the dark, but once I started working with the editor and getting a better grasp of the parameters, they suit me quite well. I'm occasionally asked to up the danger to the heroine, and it's a little bit of a joke amongst the romantic suspense authors, coming up with fresh, believable ways to put the heroine in danger without it feeling contrived. But in the end, my editor is always pleased with the changes, and hopefully so are my readers.
Now, does it stifle you as a writer having to have a set way of a guideline of writing when you were writing for something like that?
No, I think that it's helped me, because it helps me to see the structure of a story, help me to really understand the structure of a story as they like to see it. And as I went to the longer stories, I had, of course, written this book that's coming out now. I had written that before ever being contracted with either publisher. So I was writing it uneducated, so to speak, in terms of what a publisher would want. So once I started writing the second book in the series, I'm coming to the story with a lot of well-trained ideas of what should be in the story based on writing the shorter books. And I had to definitely make adjustments with that. And some were great, and some were actually challenging, because I liked the faster pace. And I would start to feel that the story meanders a little when you're adding in too many other things.
Well, whether, you know, I mean, every genre has its conventions, you know, whether that's science fiction, whether it's historical, whether it's, you know, just literary fiction. There are conventions that you still have to, or you tend to follow. Did you find that there was a bit more freedom when you were working on Deadly Devotion than when you were working on some of the other ones?
There's definitely more freedom, because you have 30,000 more words to play with. So I could spend more time developing characters, definitely adding more subplots, which has its own challenges, because you have to tie all those threads together at the end, or at least satisfactorily, to carry on into the next story.
And in often with a mystery, the subplots tend to end up being some of the red herrings that take the reader away from what the actual resolution of the mystery, and yet you don't want it to read as a red herring.
Yes.
Because someone who reads that genre on a regular basis will all of a sudden recognize it. Oh, wait a minute, this is a contrived here, you know, contrived part, and I'll just ignore it and go on with the rest of the plot.
The fun part about writing this story is some of the things that seem like red herrings in book one, by the end of book one that seem like red herrings, are actually important to the underlying suspense plot through the three books. So people who really they're not essential to understanding the story. Like, each book will stand alone as a mystery.
Right.
People who stick through reading all three will see, they'll have an aha of, oh, I remember that, because they are actually pretty significant.
Someone like an Agatha Christie, where, you know, the Miss Marple stories stand alone, and there's very little crossover other than, you know, Miss Marple and some of the background characters. There are elements within the Port Astor Secret series that will carry through. So you're really best served by starting with book one and reading all the way through.
Yes, to get the underlying suspense plot, and also to not give away the mystery of the first book. Like, if you start with book two, you'll know who did it in book one.
Right. Well, what we need to do is take a quick break and then continue our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Standing in the Need of Prayer from Carolyn Aaron's Love Was Here First CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. I've been watching the TV series Castle lately, and the main character is a novelist. And in the introduction, he says there are two kinds of folks who sit around thinking about how to kill people: psychopaths and mystery writers. Do you often find yourself sort of, you know, daydreaming or thinking about some of the different ways you can kill people and things that will add to your plots as you go on from here?
More often, I think about how to terrorize people, since there's much more psychological value in that, saying the heroine's fear in the story.
Right.
But that said, while I was plotting the Port Astor Secrets mystery series, the whole series, I poured over all kinds of books on poisons and poisonous plants, and would frequently ask people how they might kill someone in their job, because I wanted to come up with some really unique, unexpected type twists to the plot. But in general, no, I don't think about killing people. But I have a lot of fun asking people.
Now, well, where did you come up with the you know, as you're saying, you're plotting out the novels and that for the series. Where did you come up with the specific plot ideas for books like, you know, in specific Deadly Devotion?
My ideas can come from anywhere, anything from a phrase or an incident, running into a roadblock while driving. The seed to this story actually started in a dream based on my kids working at a greenhouse. I shared on my blog on Monday, May 13th, how an incident with a horticulture student where my daughter was attending, she had a nasty run-in with a plant, and that led to an idea that I incorporated into the plot of how my heroine would defend herself when cornered in her lab using this plant. So no one's safe around me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've been talking about in Deadly Devotion, one of the key things is it features herbal teas and medicinal plant use and things like that. So you sort of started your research from ground zero on all of this?
I've always had an interest in herbal medicine, and at the time my daughter was a horticulture student, so had lots of input that way. But in particular with this story, it was originally titled Murder by Marigolds, and I was trying to come up with an unusual suspicious death. And I had a friend over who uses a lot of herbal teas. But in general, she was just telling me about this marigold tea she was drinking that was really helpful. So I told my daughter about it, that I thought I would try it because it's, you know, she had such a positive effect. And my daughter was, that's not the kind of marigolds we have in our garden. They're totally different and they're toxic. She's talking about calendula. And I thought, this is perfect.
Right.
So that was the whole beginning of the story, was from that conversation of just having a friend over for tea.
Well, when you're starting, and then you said you talk to people and you do some research, how do you do this without arousing suspicion? I think in the in your acknowledgments, you acknowledge the Niagara Region Police Department for all the help that they provided you. How do you make sure that they know that you're a writer researching, and you're not just somebody who they're going to have to keep an eye on?
Well, I asked police officers who know me personally, and once I was contracted as a writer, it was a lot easier because then they really do believe in you. I have to admit that you sort of wonder when you're searching the internet for information on bombs and the like, wonder what CSIS or other organizations think of your browsing history. I do know of authors who had their computers confiscated after 9/11.
Wow.
Of their browsing history. And I did raise a few eyebrows at the bank a few weeks ago when I started asking about ways to counterfeit money, which is for book two. I forgot to preface my question with I'm a writer.
Right. Looking at your own writing history and that, are there any mystery writers out there that you've sort of been influenced by over the years in terms of helping you develop your own career?
I wouldn't say mystery writers. I tend to read more of the romantic suspense, and the most influential are probably from the love-inspired suspense. The initial ones that got me into the genre are Dean Henderson and Terry Blackstock, but now I tend to not have a lot of time for reading. So I tend to pick up the love-inspired suspense because they're quick reads.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a final break, and then we're going to wrap up our conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Somewhere there's a mother waking up to news in the night that she cannot bear. Somewhere the whole earth is quaking, making dust of the city that was standing there. Who can say if the trouble comes from above or below or the hands of fate? Just pray when the trouble does come, you help us to remember the promise you make. I know neither death nor life, not the past nor the present, no things to come, no hope.
Arts Connection. You've been listening to Nothing Can Separate from the Love Was Here first CD by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up tonight's conversation with novelist Sandra Orchard. Sandra, Deadly Devotion is going to be released in June, just a couple of weeks away. Where can listeners get more information about the release?
Well, on my website at sandraorchard.com, and the book is already listed on all the online bookstores for pre-order. Had some great sale prices, actually. Hopefully, most bookstores would bring it in if requested. I'm hopeful that many of the Canadian Christian bookstores will stock it since it's set in Niagara, and U.S. publishers are often reluctant to take a chance on non-U.S. settings, so we need some strong sales to quell that fear.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is also the first of the Port Astor Secret Series. What's an next in the series?
I just handed in the manuscript for book two. It's tentatively titled Counterfeit Brew. Kate, the heroine from book one, finds herself in the middle of another one of Detective Parker's investigations after she passes counterfeit money that was given to her by an elderly neighbor. So she's determined to prove her neighbor's innocence, but finds herself in a web of intrigue far deeper than a counterfeit operation.
And some of the same characters are come up in that novel as were in Deadly Devotion?
Yes, and some new ones.
And some new ones. What are some other projects you're working on? Are you working on a third book in the Port Astra series?
That is on my to-do list. At the moment, I'm working on Killer Cruise, which, again, is a tentative title, about an FBI agent investigating art fraud on an Alaskan cruise. This is my next love-inspired suspense. Well, my next love-inspired suspense comes out in August. That's Fatal Inheritance, but this is the next one I'm writing, which will be out in 2014.
So it sounds like you're busy.
I'm busy.
Now, how do you keep all of these straight, especially with plot lines and characters and methods and all these things?
It can be a challenge. As I was reading one of my chapters yesterday, I realized I had substituted the name of the hero from the other book that I was working on simultaneously. I try to write the first draft of one while not working on the others, but I will often be revising two books at once. And it can be tough keeping them straight sometimes.
Where can people find more about your books?
In general, at my website, sandraorchard.com.
Sandra, thank you. Well, Sandra, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Sandra Orchard. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.